I wonder what you understand by the term spirit-filled. It's a phrase bandied about in Christian circles, isn't it? But what does it actually mean? Someone told me recently that a spirit-filled Christian is apparently a person who leads services and chooses songs entirely spontaneously. Someone else gave me a list of which Christians, in their view, are spirit-filled and which are not. And still someone else, misunderstanding the term, thought that we should not be spirit-filled at all because that's what other denominations do. Well, evidently, we need to hear what God, through Paul the Apostle, says in this passage about being filled by the Spirit and what that looks like for each believer. We've seen in previous weeks the gospel doctrine of Ephesians 1 to 3. The church is God's new humanity, leading to gospel living in chapters 4 to 6. And we're told, verse 15 of Ephesians 5, that we must be very careful and very wise in how we live, taking every gospel opportunity that comes our way, not being foolish, but understanding what the Lord's will is. Because the days we live in are evil. Evidence of the fallen world is all around us then and now. Well, turn on our phone, radio, TV, or just look out of the window. Don't we know it? Friends, these are dark days, difficult days, when the consequences of original sin are so clearly affecting the world. And so, verse 18, we are told, somewhat out of the blue, not to get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Do not lose control to alcohol, whether in pagan rituals or a particularly Ephesian problem, or in Cheltenham with home alcohol sales soaring. Do not lose control, but gain control through being filled by God's Spirit. Now, what does that mean? In the New Testament, we have on one hand, the spirit language of Luke Acts, picking up where the Old Testament left off, the Spirit coming at Pentecost, and then on individuals for a short time to empower them for acts of witness. But we also have the language of Paul. The Spirit is a guarantee or seal continually living inside every believer, never to be lost, giving gifts to the church. Yet whilst the Spirit permanently dwells in every believer, we can also be filled by the Holy Spirit. We can have more of the Spirit. So that's an argument for a second filling of the Spirit, but also a third and a fourth and a fifth and a sixth filling. In fact, every day we must ask the Spirit to fill us, to change us. Translating verse 18 from Greek to English, it's not entirely clear whether we are to be filled with the Spirit, so the Spirit is the content of our filling, we're the container and he's the water, or whether we're filled by the Spirit. He's the one who enables us to be filled. He's the tap, if you like. Perhaps the context of chapters 4 and 5 slightly favours be filled by the Spirit. The Spirit helps us to be filled with the fullness of God in Christ. That's how fullness is used throughout Ephesians. The Spirit enables us to better imitate God in Christ. So whilst all believers, by definition, have God's Spirit, every day we can be filled to receive more of the fullness of God. And that's why be filled by God's Spirit brings to a conclusion the long list of gospel living instructions that started in 4:17. It's being filled, not rule-keeping, that helps us live for God. The American preacher D.L. Moody illustrated this by holding up a glass and asking, how can I get the air out of this glass? And one man shouted, "Well, suck it out with a pump." But Moody replied, "Well, that would create a vacuum and shatter the glass." After numerous other suggestions, Moody smiled. He picked up a jug of water and he filled the glass. "And there," he said, "all the air is now removed." Meaning, living the Christian life is not accomplished by sucking out a sin here and there, but by being filled with God by the Holy Spirit. Well, what does that look like in a believer's life? What change is that likely to bring? Is it like a power-up in a computer game that gives you special abilities for a short time? Does it mean having a life of no problems? Well, neither of those things. Rather, Paul gives us some characteristics of the Spirit-filled person. You see, it's sometimes forgotten that verses 18 to 21 are one long sentence in Greek. It reads something like, "Do not get drunk on wine, but be filled by the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music with your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks to God for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of Christ." So whilst these are not exhaustive examples, if you are filled by God's Spirit, it may well manifest in, verse 19, singing. How many of us have missed congregational singing this last year, reduced as we are to YouTube videos? Spirit-filled believers sing to one another, the horizontal element. They sing to encourage each other with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Note those are not mutually exclusive categories. "Well, we only sing psalms, the 150 that are in the Bible. Well, we only sing 19th century hymns. Well, we only sing spiritual sea shanties." No, it means sing all manner of Spirit-inspired music for the edification of one another. During the Reformation, the three main Protestant reformers, Zwingli, Calvin, and Luther, all had very different approaches to music and singing. Ulrich Zwingli, to remove all trace of Roman Catholic influence in Zurich, abolished music completely, smashing up church organs. John Calvin in Geneva allowed singing, but not self-penned songs, only the Bible's psalms, and only in modern language that people could understand. He was against the equivalent of these and thous. Martin Luther, meanwhile, over in Germany, loved music. He played the lute, he wrote songs, many for children. And he said, in typical Luther style, "I have no use for cranks who despise music, because it is a gift of God." And so Luther inaugurated a sort of musical democratization by which strong, simple melodies to songs he penned could be sung by the entire congregation. The people, not the hierarchy, owned the songs. And Protestant church history shows that Luther's approach, Ephesians 5:19 in hand, has won the day. Congregations own and identify with the songs they sing. So Spirit-filled believers encourage one another by singing all sorts of Spirit-inspired music together. Even if we're disadvantaged by being in separate homes and can't hear each other at this time. But as well as the horizontal element, there's also a vertical dimension to singing, making music with your hearts, that is, your whole being to the Lord. That means worshipping the Lord with your mind, with your emotions, with your body, as well as your voice box. your whole being. How many of us in singing on our own or together worship only with our minds, but not our emotions and certainly not our bodies? Equally, how many of us worship just with our bodies, but our minds are thinking about what's for lunch? Sing and make music to the Lord. Sing and make spirit-inspired sound with all that you are, your whole being, when you come to worship the Lord Jesus, the focus of our worship. So an example of being spirit-filled is singing to each other and to the Lord. But relatedly, evidence of being spirit-filled is also shown, verse 20, in thanksgiving. Always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it might seem that in lockdown, amidst a pandemic, what is there to be thankful for? I'm sure we've all woken up on some days and thought, well, there's nothing I'm thankful for today. But the Spirit fills us to enable us to give thanks constantly and for everything. Everything? Everything means saying thank you for God's abundant grace and love poured out. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for new life, for forgiveness of sin. Thank you for a second chance. It is thanking God with our minds, saying thank you intelligibly. Thank you with our emotions, expressing ourselves to God. Thank you with our bodies, giving them to the Lord for his service. Now, to be sure, being thankful for everything is not the same as thanking God for evil events. But it is thanking God, viewed with a wide-angle lens, that even in grave circumstances, a pandemic, God's plan remains to sanctify us and glorify himself. Maybe you've heard the daft story of two men walking through a field when they spot an enraged bull. But as they dart towards the fence, the bull in hot pursuit, they realise they won't make it. So terrified, one shouts to the other, "Put up a prayer, John! We're in for it!" So John answers, "I can't! I've never made a public prayer in my life." "But you must! The bull is catching up!" "All right, I'll say the only prayer I know, what my father used to say at the table." So he took a deep breath and he gasped. That's right, you've guessed it. "For what we're about to receive, may the Lord make us truly thankful." We're not talking about that sort of thankfulness. But it means recognizing, as per Romans 8, that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. So, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, what are you thankful for in this lockdown time? Spirit-filled, we sing and we always give thanks to God for everything. Well, finally, and maybe surprisingly, being spirit-filled manifests in submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Is that your idea of being spirit-filled? Submit has become a dirty word in our culture, hasn't it? And we may push back on it with society, saying, well, I'd imagine that being spirit-filled was about being independent, ignoring the rest of the church and doing your own thing, because that's what the Spirit told me to do. Might we take that view? God, through Paul, says no, no. Rather, spirit-filled believers are marked by submission within divinely ordered relationships. Practically, That means making yourself accountable to other believers. So tough to do in a lockdown. The whole body of Christ is in view and our place in it. But it can also mean submission to proper authorities. Verse 21 is a hinge verse to talk about submission in marriage, submission in children and parents, and as we'll see, submission in slaves and masters, how that works. To proper authorities then, being spirit-filled means submitting to the leadership God has placed over us in the church, rather than usurping with, well, the Spirit told me to do my own thing. So, singing to each other and to God, continual thanksgiving in everything, and submission. These are examples of the Spirit-filled life, filled with all the fullness of God. Do these examples describe your walk with God? In lockdown, we know all about recharging phones, tablets, laptops. But God invites us every day for a spiritual recharge. So we spend a moment asking the Spirit to fill us once again, so we may experience all the fullness of God in Christ.